Want to build a thriving business while make a much bigger impact in the world? By becoming known as an influential voice in your industry? The choice versus just a choice with your ideal client? That's exactly what you're going to learn as I interview business experts, industry thought leaders, and entrepreneurs who are in the trenches making their mark so you can too. This is the award-winning podcast, The Ambitious Entrepreneur Show, and I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. And welcome to another episode. So my guest today says it takes a lot of courage to change, and it takes an objective perspective to keep you, or so to help you gain the confidence that you're making the right decision. So joining me on today's show is Jackie Biebenroth. Jackie, she is an award-winning positioning expert and agency founder who draws from two decades of experience as a brand strategist and entrepreneur to help visionary leaders achieve transformation inside their businesses and beyond. Now, Jackie has shaped some of the nation's leading brands, and she is from the US, but all of the things that she's going to talk about today is certainly relevant for us here in Australia and the world if you are in business in different locations. Now, using her own productive distancing techniques for brand strategy, she helps businesses to evolve and define their true purpose, the why, so that they can march forward with unwavering clarity and confidence. Now, on today's show, Jackie is going to share more about how we can learn to identify some blind spots in your branding strategy. Do you have some blind spots? If you're not even sure what they are, you need to listen to the show. She's also going to help us to uncover the stories that you hold. And I know that this is a really stumbling block for many businesses. It's quite difficult for them to clarify. She's also going to share some tips for guiding your business through the decision to rebrand and discover reasons why the journey is worth it and so much more. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is probably one of my favorite topics, so we can certainly geek out on this. But what would you say are some of the reasons with the clients and other businesses that are going through a rebrand? What are some of the reasons why a business would want to go through a rebrand?
There's many different reasons. For small and mid-sized businesses, I would say that some of them come to us because they feel like their brand is dated, and they want to become more modern and relevant to maybe a younger audience demo or something like that. There's also succession that happens. We work with a lot of family-based businesses who are looking to capture the legacy of the founding owner and then transfer into the vision of the younger generation. There's mergers and acquisitions. Certainly, if you add a new service line, whether that's through an acquisition or just an organic new service line, you're going to want to consider your messaging, and you might want to consider how your brand structure can support that. So those are just a few of the more common ones. But quite honestly, if you're just feeling like your brand doesn't fit you anymore, it's probably time to take a closer look at your website and say, what can I do to improve that?
Yeah, fantastic. There was something in a sentence that you mentioned, and I thought, let's just unpack that a little bit before we dive into the other insights you want to share today. You talked about brand strategy and then messaging. I would love for you to define, if you would, what branding means to you. And it may incorporate some of those elements. The reason why is so often there is a misconception to certain topics and so forth. And so we want to make sure that people are on the same page when it comes to branding, because when you ask a number of different businesses, they each come up with different responses, but we want to make sure that we are clear in what actually is branding. Is it different from our messaging? Is it integrated? What would you say?
Well, the true definition of brand from my perspective is the impression that your company experience leaves in the mind of your audience or buyer. You know, you can think of any popular brand, Coca-Cola, for example. What's the first word that comes to mind, right? So that in and of itself is branding. And so the components of branding are often a visual identity, which is how you look and present yourself to the world, and your verbal identity or your messaging and how you express your voice to the world. So as a brand agency, we work on those components, and then we help our clients further demonstrate that through a brand experience. And it's really exciting work because it's both emotional and also very rational at the same time.
Yes, I love the way that you've described that, because if you don't have clarity on the emotional aspects of things, it's very hard to exude that. I'll use the word exude, express that then in your visual elements. One more question, because I, there's a lot of people who would be saying, if there are smaller businesses, well, we don't have the budget or the income capital as, say, Coca-Cola. How important is it for us to brand our businesses and have this brand identity? And what is your thought also on a personal brand, if the business owner is very much the brand face of the business? What would you give some insights around that? How important is personal branding when it comes to brand identity if the business is, say, a solo entrepreneur?
You know, I believe that that is a decision that is made in conjunction with the business owner's exit plan. So if you have an exit plan where you want to sell the business in the very near future, you know, 5 to 10 years, you might not want to connect the equity of your brand with your person. Because if you're looking to extract your person from the business, it's going to lose value when you leave, right? Yes. That is one option to consider when you're thinking about that. The other one is, you know, do you have something to say? Do you stand for something inside your brand? And it took me a while to come to this conclusion. I mean, I'm a brand expert, and I thought for years about a personal brand before I actually launched one. And I worked with a positioning expert because I was very close to it. Obviously, it's me. And I needed someone to help me read the label outside the jar. I felt like I was sitting in the jar, and I just needed somebody to tell me objectively what I stand for. I just have 25 years of experience. It's a lot to say. So we landed on this idea of productive distancing, which is actually the process that we use inside my company. So those two things are interrelated, but I can still stand on a stage and talk independently about productive distancing without mentioning my company, because that is an area of expertise that I own. So if you own an area of thought leadership, that could be an opportunity for you to step out and have a personal brand.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things that I really love about what you've said as well is that we see a lot of businesses who are incorporating podcasts and other mediums to communicate their brand and bring their brand message out. So if you call it your own name and you create quite an audience of followers and listeners that are your ideal clients, if you're thinking of a succession plan and selling it down the road, it's very difficult for someone to bring that in and take that on board. But if you brand it, you can, as you said, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, if you brand an aspect, you call it productive distancing. Is that what you call it?
Yep.
And that very much is part of expertise. It's part of who you are and what you do and support clients with. But others can come within your organization and also bring that forward as well. So I love that. Thank you for having a bit of a play with me here so that we can really get some clarity around personal branding, and why it's so important. What about some blind spots? Help us to identify what they may be in our branding strategy.
So blind spots happen specifically with entrepreneurs who are so close to their businesses. They're in the trenches. Sometimes they don't truly see what their customers find value in. And what I mean by that is, you know, we work with entrepreneurs. When an entrepreneur comes to us and they say, you know, help me with my branding, the first thing we ask is, tell me about your business. And they'll talk for 25 minutes because they're so passionate about the business and they just want to tell their story, right? We hear this so often, and that's great for them. But the blind spot is in, what do people actually care about when they're considering working with you? When they're considering buying your product or service, they may or may not care about your origin story or your passion or your purpose. They might just want to know, can this firm solve my problem, which is actually the first thing that they're thinking. So we help businesses identify those blind spots that are misalignments between what the owner believes to be important and what is actually important to the audience.
What are some ways then, if someone's listening to you and thinking, oh, we do tend to do that, go into our origin story because we're told we have to identify our why. So very much they lead from that why. What are some things that they may be able to do on their own initially? I mean, obviously it's so important. You even hired a positioning expert. It's difficult to see, but what are some things that you encourage people to do to start looking then at, well, how can we find out what our audience and what, you know, what's important to them so that we can start to really change our message to really answer the questions that our audience and potential clients are looking for? What are some steps to take?
So the first step is to truly look inside your business. So say you have a leadership team. Go to your leadership team and ask them the question, where do our customers find value in our products and services? Seems like a very simple question, but I can guarantee you're going to get back very different answers from different people inside your organization. So you start by looking inside the company because you want to make sure that you're aligning with what the people inside the company believe to be true. Then you can take that information and maybe choose the top five value statements. You can conduct a survey with your customers and simply ask them. You can ask them in the way of ask them the same question, or you can have them rank the value propositions that you've already defined. And in doing so, you will likely be very surprised by what you think your audience values and what they actually value. And then you take that information and you apply it right into your marketing and your brand.
One of the things that you might have seen or heard some of your clients do, but other businesses do, and I know that this is so easy to fall into, and it could be very much a blind spot. When we are unsure of that value, particularly if some of the businesses who are watching or listening to this recording, Jackie, they may be a small business, so they don't have a large team to be able to support them, because a lot of them might be a solopreneur and they might have, say, an admin team to help them with the various important admin stuff so that they can run their business. So it's hard for, you know, that brainstorming. So what is often something that they're tempted to do is to look at, well, what's happening in the marketplace where some of my competitors are really, they're standing out, they're getting business, and it really looks to be working for them. What can I do that emulates what they're doing and bring that back into my business? Something that you said earlier is look inside. You didn't say look at what everyone else is doing and kind of emulate them. What would you say for businesses who have thought, well, I'll just sort of look at what other people are doing and bring my own version of that into my business, the brand strategy?
You know, for early stage business, that's not a bad strategy. I mean, you certainly want to know what your competitors might be doing, and I'm not suggesting that you totally ignore that information. For more established companies, like if you go to external sources first, you might risk ruining your own authenticity as a company and what you already have built. So that's why we recommend that internal viewpoint first. For early stage businesses, certainly do some research. One cool exercise that we really like to do is we create word clouds from different competitive sites. And when you do that, you can really see where they're weighting their messaging. And then if you already have a website, you can run a cloud on your website and see where your messaging is different. So you can look at industry it through that lens of messaging, and it's very interesting and it can be very informative.
Yeah. And you may actually see that there is a clear way that they are communicating and bringing forward their brand, expressing their brand, and how you can be quite unique, because you can still be speaking about the same thing, but the way in which you're bringing that forward is quite unique to you, and you may resonate with your ideal clients more in that way. So love that. Are there any other blind spots or ways to identify potential blind spots? Because you're talking about, is your message even aligned? Are you answering and sharing the right information to get that potential customer to realize, oh, that business can support me? Are there any other ways to identify other blind spots?
Yeah, so we haven't really touched on the visual component of branding. So I'll just talk a bit about that. Quite often, people won't tell you if your visual identity isn't serving them. I mean, they're not going to be like, your baby's ugly. And so you really have to be your own critic in that. And I think the first part of that is really determining your personality as a brand. So answer the question, if your brand were a person, how would you describe, you know, him, her, they, right? So the answer to that question, you'll have a set of characteristics. Maybe you can, emulate a character in a movie or a movie star or something, just so you can sort of picture that person in your head. Now, look at your website, look at your logo, and think, like, would that appeal to that type of person? And if the answer is no, you might want to consider, you know, maybe doing a little refresh. You don't have to toss your logo out the window and start new. You know, you can, there are things you can do to create more sophistication, more legibility, and more vibrancy to make it more modern and appropriate for that character, that don't require, you know, a large agency investment either. So that's a great little test to kind of like, just take a moment and try to see your brand for what it is.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm going to ask a question, and the answer is one of those, well, it depends how long is a piece of string. But typically for a rebrand strategy, what is there a time in limit involved? Do you say typically it will take between X and X amount of time to really fully and deeply get that clarity process? Is there kind of a standard time that you find is a good time to really dedicate to this?
I assign it to two variables. Number one is the size and like the stage of the business. So earlier stage businesses, the time doesn't require, you know, a whole discovery, and like there's a lot that goes into that component of that. Also, the stakes are lower. You know, with larger businesses, they have a lot more to lose financially if like something goes awry. So they tend to take more time and want more data in the process to make those decisions. So that's number one, the life stage of the business. Smaller businesses, maybe 6 to 8 weeks, perhaps, mm-hmm. if you have a very ambitious agency working with you or a freelancer. Mid-sized businesses, you want to count on, 2 to 4 or 5 months, perhaps, depending on the amount of input that you want. And that is the second variable. Who is on your decision-making committee? And what type of external input do you want to make these types of decisions? And that will extend. We work with the world's largest food manufacturer and do some of their branding work. And they can take up to like a year. And just because there's so many layers of approvals and there's just so much to think about, you know.
Yeah. I had a conversation with a business who was involved, a consultancy who was involved in sales, and sales and marketing, but primarily is your marketing blocking, you know, your ability, your company to sell. And they recognized that it was so important for sales division to talk with the marketing division, because what would often happen was marketing would blame sales and sales would blame marketing. So I would imagine that if you are a mid and you've got both departments, there are key people that, because you can't involve all of the company, of course, but some key leaders within different company divisions. And I would say getting teams or people from marketing and sales so that you're both on the same page. It's very important, isn't it?
Oh, man, I can't stress that enough. I mean, we've been in so many circumstances over many years where you get that like sales and marketing kind of conflict. And really, we take the position of we are here in service of sales. And, you know, we're here to arm sales with what they need to do their job well. And the brand is a big component of that. And if they don't feel confident showing up in the field with the right brand materials, that's going to come across. Right. So we make a point to always involve salespeople. There's got to be at least one frontline salesperson in on the brand committee. So we are getting their voice in the mix.
Yeah. So important. So important. Mm-hmm. Love it. So let's have a look. What are some of the stories that you see can hold us back? Help us to uncover these.
So I'm a copywriter by trade, which means I grew up in an agency environment where we had this mantra that it's always assume that someone doesn't care what you have to say, which seems a little harsh, but really it helped us be better at earning attention. And so storytelling absolutely has a place in your sales narrative, in your brand overall. But there typically, especially in service businesses, there are studies that show this, that when someone comes in, the mindset in the journey goes like this: can you solve my problem? How are you different than the competition or better? And, you know, what is the end result of my investment, right? That is the story. So if someone gets to your website and you're leading with like, hello, my name's Jackie Biebenroth and I love marketing, you know, like I am in that moment, I've lost them because I haven't communicated that I can solve their problem. So you should be really service and product forward so that what they think they want to buy is present from first impression. You've got their attention now. Now's the time to follow up with stories, purpose, passion, all that stuff. But if you can't connect those dots at the top in the first impression, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Love that example. That example, I think, is also very much relevant if you're speaking to organizations that could be your ideal client. I'll give you an example. My daughter and I, she's also in business, went and we listened to a speaker and she started off with the story. And it was interesting because my daughter said to me at the end, she said, oh, that speaker was going all over the place because she hadn't provided that context of what's in it for me. My daughter just right from the beginning lost interest because she's very, you know, very driven. And it's like I've got a certain attention span and if it's relevant, then I'll listen. But why is it relevant to me? And it didn't take, it was interesting till halfway in that she tied it all together. And I thought if she had done that early on and then, as you said, expanded a little bit, she would have brought everybody along, particularly those people who need, why should I be listening to you? What's relevant for me? So that's so very important. Let's have a look at some tips to guide us through decision-making when it comes to rebranding and discovering reasons why the journey is worth it. Because we did say it's going to take a little bit of time, but I would assume that when we have the right brand, the right identity, it's really making a mark. People are starting to resonate with it and come and just engage with all of the different pieces of content we're sharing. It's well worth it. So help us to, what are some tips and insights?
So let's see. I believe that, you know, a brand can open the door to new revenue that you're not even seeing yet because maybe your business is so focused on this transaction, this short-term transaction that because you're positioned to sell that product or that service, you might be missing out on all this other stuff that could be with a more transformational brand position. Then it opens the door to cross-sell and upsell opportunities and better customer lifetime value and deeper relationships with your customers. And so when you're looking at a rebrand, it's important to understand where you are. Is your business very sales focused to your detriment? Meaning, are you so focused on that short-term quota that you're limiting yourself from that bigger picture? And if so, you might want to reevaluate, you know, how you're investing in your direct messaging versus that brand experience that keeps people with you for longer periods of time, because you know it's much more cost effective to keep a customer than it is to get a new customer in almost all cases. Yes. So you want that longevity in that relationship. So branding can really help with that. And that is something that I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs consider in a true blind spot that we bring to the table to help shine the light on.
I love that. Can you, I mean, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I'm sure you've got an example, because I think examples just really help us to provide, it provides some context. Is there an example where you'd worked with an organization, you don't need to name names or so, but through really looking at their brand strategy, they were able to see, oh, when we reposition this way, we really, it just opens up so much more potential and opportunity for our customers to be with us for a longer time. Do you have an example that you might be able to share?
Sure. So the first that comes to mind is, I mentioned we were working with this global food manufacturer, and when we started working with them, they were selling a product in a box. And it's a food product in a box to restaurant operators. They sell to global restaurant operators, you know, these big food chains and things. And that's a transaction. And their sales force, they had a very like focused and aggressive sales force to get more boxes in more restaurants. And when we started working with them, we said, look, like actually what you do is you manufacture, you have a process to manufacture the most high performing products. What if your brand was less about the product and more about the process of developing that? Could you get customers in to do custom work with you on that process to get a custom box? And they were like, oh, I guess we could, right? So we went from branding a product to branding a process, because yes. Then now you have a broader opportunity to customize the work. And without that brand, they'd still be limited in what they were selling. And that ended up over last year, they told us their sales went up 30 points. Wow. So
what was interesting about that, that process that they took to design and develop and manufacture that box, mm-hmm. I would imagine has IP, intellectual property, real expertise that they developed. So they then positioned themselves kind of as leaders in that industry. And this is what we've developed. We can now develop it for you. I love that.
Yeah. And they went from like a product-based brand to a people-based brand.
Yeah,
which was really cool. So visually, we moved them away from product photography and into more human photography. So they were presenting as humans first, product second, and that's been really compelling. And I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, that is. That's a great, great example, and it allows people to visualize or envision, I should say, how that can be. Well, what is potentially possible for their business too? Have they been so laser focused on one thing that by stepping back and, you know, having some great questions from someone such as yourself or working with an expert who's external to your business, may be able to see that there is far greater opportunity in actually selling the thing that you've been doing that gets you to that product or something about that. There's, you know, different markets that certainly can be tapped into. So I know that we've only just scratched the surface, Jackie, and I know that in a role such as yourself and what you do, your expertise, you know, envisioning is really part of the process, isn't it? It's having that discussion. Mm-hmm. It's what is possible and being able to just yeah, the sky's the limit kind of thing, and then seeing, okay, what is actually possible. So if people are listening today or the recording and they think, my goodness, we've never even thought about that, what could be possible, and maybe we do need a brand strategy or rebranding strategy, how can they get in contact with you, Jackie? What's the best way for them to do that?
Certainly. Well, you can check out my website at jackiebiebenroth.com. That's my personal site. My agency is Muse, and you can see us at museheadquarters.com, Muse Headquarters on Instagram. And I love talking to people about this, obviously. So I'm totally open to providing free 2 cents, you know, and, you know, if anybody would like a free 15-minute consultation, I'm happy to open the door and talk.
Fantastic. Well, look, thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute delight.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, it's Anne-Marie. Before I go, are you a coach or a consultant who feels like the world's best kept secret? Your experience is vast, yet secretly you're frustrated because despite all of your hard work, you're just not getting the visibility, the recognition, or new clients you'd hope for, and you don't know why? I've created a free resource that'll help you build visibility, generate leads, and enroll dream clients with ease because you're seen as a trusted authority, even in a crowded marketplace, and you've positioned yourself as the choice versus just a choice for your dream client. To get started, go to annemariecross.com/gift. That's annemariecross.com/gift.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.